Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Monday morning, and this is the first Monday of March.
Amen.
And it's going to be a pretty nice day today, around 58.
We like that. We like that. A little sunshine.
Then starting tomorrow, a little rain.
Why you had to go there?
Well, I just thought I would.
Let's just relish today.
I just thought I would upset the, you know, tone since we got started so good. So, you know.
Well.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but anyway.
No. Evidently not.
No, it's not. It's not bad news.
He's doing it every, he's doing it every hour.
I know it. He's going to be telling folks.
I shouldn't talk because I will in a little while.
No, that's right. It. In a little while, you'll be.
Talking that rain talk.
Yeah.
Now, you get to be the hero some days and the villain others.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
The weatherman.
Yeah.
You don't get to choose your role. You just end up having to tell what it is.
I'm glad I'm not a meteorologist, so.
The good news is, though, that it's Monday today.
It is.
And we got sunshine today.
We got sunshine
and we got an opportunity to have a fresh start today.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to today. And I know there are a lot of guys who are coming off of church services, and I know specifically some guys that are coming off of a retreat and want to encourage everybody that's coming off that spiritual high to meet the day with a smile and with your body ready to engage, because God's got something for you. If he gave you a good message Sunday, he's got a place for you to apply it on Monday. Mm-hmm. And so make sure that you can roll out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and strap on the armor, because it's time to go.
There you go.
We're going to take a look today at Sabbath. After talking about getting up on a Monday and rolling, we're going to go back and look at Sabbath and see the importance of it. We've been doing a study in Genesis, and we're going to kind of be in between chapters 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And in between chapters 1 and 2, there is a respite, and it is the Sabbath. And so we're going to talk about that.
Missionary Radio is a listener-supported and funded Christian radio station that has existed since 1981. That's over 43 years of faithful listeners such as yourself, believing in the power of radio as a medium of communication to broadcast the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over the FM airwaves and online around the globe. We believed back in 1981 that the world needed King Jesus, and we firmly know and believe that we need him now more than ever. We would like to encourage you to call our unmanned phone line that is purposed to receive voicemails. All you have to do is dial 270-962-4055 and leave a voicemail of encouragement to help edify our listeners. Share a testimony of how listening to and supporting Missionary Radio has been a blessing to you all these years. Let us know what your favorite program or Christian artist is. We would love to hear from you. Just call 270-962-4055 to leave us an edifying and encouraging voicemail to share with old and new listeners alike.
Missionary Radio, in partnership with TWR.
And welcome back to the front porch on this third day of March.
Well, we have been doing a study in Genesis, and in between, in all honesty, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there's a statement about the Sabbath. Now, when we think of the Sabbath, the thing that we think of is actually not Genesis, we think of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, one of the big 10, if you got your top 10 commands, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord God. On that you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." So he says, remember the Sabbath. And this is what I like to do. So when we have a command in Scripture, we want to trace it back to its purpose. And the way we do that is by walking through practices, ethics, and principles. And by that, I mean this. If you look at the command, which is the law in Exodus, that's the practice. In other words, the people were told, well, you can't gather manna on the Sabbath. That's the practice. If you do, you're breaking the law. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we have practices. And you can think about your own church. You may not have a top 10 commandment list necessarily of specific things like, I don't know, the pastor doesn't wear blue jeans in the pulpit, right? Or okay. whatever. Everybody yeah. has practices. Well, what's the root that drives that practice? And so when we want to know that, we have to dig in through Scripture to find the real essence of it. So we start with the practice, which is, hey, every seventh day, stop. Now, why did they stop? Well, because God said it's holy, it's good, it's separate unto Him,
mm-hmm.
which means it's moral. That's the ethic. So if I'm being moral, I'm not working on a Sabbath
mm-hmm.
because God has commanded it, and I'm trying to be morally good. Well, what makes it moral? Well, folks would say, well, because God said it, right? Actually, no, that's not it. Not in this case. In this case, it's because God did it. And that's not something we want to miss.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fact that God simply said it. It has to do with the fact that God did it. And so, Joe, what we're going to do is you'll jump back there in Genesis, go to chapter 1, and like I said, this is really almost a caveat in between two chapters. And remember, there were no chapters in the original Old Testament. But if you will, there in chapter 1, start there in verse 31, and then read down through verse 2 of chapter, or chapter 3 of, verse 3 of chapter 2.
God saw all that He had made, and it was very good, and there was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He'd been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done.
So the Scripture tells us that God has taken this particular day and He has done something on that day. He's not commanded something. He's not legislated something. He's not required something of man. The truth is, God stopped and God rested. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that God doesn't get tired. He's all powerful. So it's not like He gets
tired. It wasn't like He was saying, whew, I'm glad all that's done.
That's right.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a break.
That's it. And He sets this day aside. And what He does is, okay, so all these days are creative days, but this is a non-creative day. This is a day of just being. And yeah. I want to make sure I say that in the right way. This is a day of simple being. And what I mean by that is, remember, we believe in a triune God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back in chapter 1, right before He creates mankind, there's a conversation of the Trinity. It says in verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and the livestock on all our ground. God has a conversation in the Trinity. So when He takes the Sabbath, when God takes the Sabbath, it is a day of just being in communion with God. But there's another piece to it. Because He doesn't take the Sabbath until He's created man. And when He takes the Sabbath, man now exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so He can commune not only with Himself, but with us. The purpose of the Sabbath, we know, is to commune with God. But we know it not because He's told us we have to do it. Listen carefully. We know it because it's what He did. And here's the other piece to that particular puzzle, is that when God created us, He put the Sabbath in the middle of our creation. Now, I know it's on the seventh day. No, no, Brother David, it's at the end of creation. It's all said and done. Actually, if you look at the layout of Genesis, the creation of man is the longest portion of the creation story, which is the creation of mankind on the sixth day. In chapter 2, which the first three verses are the Sabbath, in chapter 2, the very next thing is going to be a refocus on one thing, and that's the creation of man. So you have the creation of man in chapter 1, you have the creation of man in chapter 2, and in the heart of that, if you think about it in the layout of the book, at the heart of that is Sabbath, the day of communion with God. In chapter 1, it says, I'm going to create him in our image. So God's creating us like he is. That means that if God needs the Sabbath, we need the Sabbath. His DNA is in us. And the way he operates is the way we want to operate because we are made in his image. I'm going to use an illustration here it's limited in scope, so please understand that. But my guess is that all three of us have a habit that we do because that's what our daddy did growing up, okay? So you guys think about yours. What is it that was instilled in you, not necessarily because your dad said you have to do this, but because you watched your dad do this, okay? For me, I can tell you that it's a workaholic. That was my dad. He rose up with the sun and he went to it. And the thing that I understood about manhood was you provide.
Mm-hmm.
You go out, you kill something, bring it back to the cave, feed the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job. You don't ever rest. You don't ever stop. This is what you do. And that was ingrained in me, not because my dad said, this is what you have to do, but because that's who my dad was. And I carry his DNA.
Yeah.
He put in me a piece of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mimic him in that. Now, is it always good? No, it's not always good. And so I need to recognize that not everything that came from my earthly father is holy and true,
mm-hmm.
okay? However, when I look at who God is and I see what God does and I know that he has placed that DNA in me, let us make man in our image,
mm-hmm.
then in me is the drive to do what God does. And the drive of God is to take time to be, just simply be.
Yeah.
What about you guys? What's been handed down to you by an earthly father, not by voice, but simply because of their DNA and who they are?
I would have to say, I guess, being in radio, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, because I started at 13
mm-hmm.
in radio. Just kind of wanted to just follow his footsteps.
Sure.
You know, so I guess if you would call it a habit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that, you know, I've always enjoyed doing. I'm not the best at it, but I enjoy it.
Very good.
And, you know, and it's just something I watched him do. He was a hard worker. He provided for family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was something that they instilled in me, at a young age, he did, you know, that you know, even when I bought my first vehicle, I paid for it, mm-hmm. you know, and when I got a little bit better vehicle, yeah, they co-signed with me and stuff, helped me out, but still I made the payments.
Sure.
So they taught me, you know, the meaning of you know, how to take care of yourself. And
that's good.
And so.
And he probably gave you a radio voice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's helped me along the way.
Your voice comes from your daddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So not only did he show you the way to work it,
yeah.
but he also gave you something literally physical that you can apply to it.
Yeah.
There are some people whose voice should not be on radio.
Yeah, I agree.
It's hard to admit
He's looking at me when he says that.
I didn't look at you at all. I'm not looking at anybody, but I have heard some in the past. Yes, I'm sitting there going, well, now I'll take it in radio.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Honestly, there's a certain talent that needs to be there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Fred Astaire could dance.
Yeah.
I can't dance like Fred Astaire.
I can't dance at all.
You know, and there are some people whose voice should not be on radio, and that's just the facts of life. But it was placed in you by your dad,
yeah,
and then he showed you what to do with it, literally through his life, not by command,
sure,
but by his doing.
Yeah,
Joe, real quick, what about you?
Well, probably just the way that I tie my shoes is something that
interesting
is from dad.
Okay.
And in fact, all my brothers tie our shoes just the same way.
Okay.
Like Dad did. In fact, one of my brothers, his wife tried to get him not to teach his sons how to tie their shoes.
I am fascinated by this, and so we're going to conversate about this in a minute.
But really, the interesting thing is one of my other brothers.
Uh-huh.
My dad always had a bucket of used nails.
Okay.
That he would use for projects. And
he would
take them and straighten them out with a hammer.
Right.
And use those nails. Well, my oldest brother, Dave, went up to help my other brother in New Hampshire with a carpentry project at the house. And John brought out that bucket of nails. And Dave, he just laughed and he said, as long as John's alive, Dad is alive.
There you go. I love it. That's fantastic.
But my dad lived through the Depression, so
sure.
you didn't throw anything away. Nothing. You could reuse just
about
anything.
But again, it's not by rote command. This is a part of the DNA of who I am, and I pass it on to my sons by the way that I live, and that is key. Well, listen, we're going to get back and talk more about this and how that affects the Sabbath, but we're going to first hear some really encouraging words from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, thank you for praying for me, my situation, and my family. I can't explain in words just how big of an impact Missionary Radio has had on my life in the past 3 years. Y'all have helped me grow from a little baby Christian to a bold woman in Christ. Thank you to every missionary at the station. Each of you are so dear to me. I'm so very blessed and thankful for you all. From Oak Grove, I am so thankful for all your work and the message of this station. And from Clarksville, Tennessee, thank you for your prayers, and thank you guys for being there.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
Well, we are diving into the concept of Sabbath, and we started with the idea of practice, which is the Ten Commandments. God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But why does he tell us to do that? It's not because he just verbally thinks this is something that'd be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he knew it was good for him.
Yeah.
He says in the scripture that he set it apart. Well, that phrasing that's used there in Exodus 20, he set it apart, is the fact that God literally did this on the seventh day. He stopped. And in God's mind, there is a desire for communion. Communion amongst the Trinity and communion with man. And those two things drive God. We don't think of God in human terms as ever needing anything. He's all sufficient, correct? But there is something in the Trinity and in the communion that he has with mankind that is not a necessity, but it is a desire. And I'm not sure how you separate the line between desire and necessity, but God chose to commune with us, and he chooses to commune in and amongst himself as the Trinity. Again, it's one God, three personages. Now, why is that important? Well, it goes to the understanding of past the practice, past the ethic. It's a moral thing. It's a good thing to be in church on a Sunday. It goes to the principle. If you think about a principle, the principle is the root that creates the ethic, which is the stem, which creates the practice, which is the bloom. Okay? The bloom only comes if you have a really solid good root. So what's the root of the Sabbath? The root of the Sabbath is that in the DNA of who God is, and I use that term loosely. It's not a good term, but it's the only term I can think of. In the makeup of who God is, there is a need and a desire to spend time and just be. To be with the Trinity. To be with mankind. As a matter of fact, we find that there is no established Sabbath in the law until there has been an established Sabbath in relationship. So if you would, Joe, I want us to go over into chapter 3, and I want us to take a look there. I believe it's in verse 8. And Adam and Eve have sinned, okay? And there in verses 8 and 9, would you read that for me?
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?"
So clearly, on a regular basis, God is walking in communion with mankind, and man is walking in communion with God. Sabbath is now becoming a regular event. It's not a one every 7 days. It's a regular process of resting, communing, and simply being. How important is it to God? Well, at the perfect stage of creation, Sabbath was literally an everyday event. God rested on the seventh from creation, but God continued to rest and walk with man on an everyday basis. Now, we see this actually in the Godhead too, when we move all the way over into the New Testament. There are multiple times where Jesus has fed the 5,000, right? And he's about to get into the boat, or he's about to put the disciples in the boat and send them across the lake, and he's going to go walking to them, right? Well, what does he do in the meantime? You just fed 5,000. He just took care of your disciples. They're in a boat going to the other shore.
He gets away from the crowds and the disciples and goes up on a mountain to be with his heavenly Father.
Exactly. He goes away to have time in prayer with God. Now, hold up. He is God, correct, Joe?
Yes, he is.
Okay. So why in the world does he need to take time to go be with God? You know? And I'm not, that's probably a tough question to answer, but
if you can explain the Trinity.
There you go. But in the process, look at the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Look at the Mount of Transfiguration. In the midst of a time frame that's exceptionally tight, Jesus has 3.5 years to change the world, to change eternity for all mankind. He has 3.5 years to do ministry on earth that's going to be recorded for all of history. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure here. A
lot of pressure.
We've got a to-do list that's fairly long.
Yeah.
There's a lot to get done. And yet, on a regular basis, Jesus will step away from it, and you find it in almost every gospel. Jesus steps away from the crowd, and he spends time in prayer with God. Why? Because it's needed.
Yeah.
There is something in God that crave is too strong a term, but definitely desires this communication and this rest in and of himself in who he is, and just simply resting in that relationship. And God does so with man as well. So what I'm trying to say is, if you want to know the principle behind Sabbath, why God said, hey, keep the Sabbath, it had nothing to do with, hey, you've got to take notice of what I'm saying and you have to be obedient to what I've asked. What God's saying is, I know how I designed you.
Yeah.
In the beginning, he created us, not just male and female, but in his image. And this is who I am, God says. I am an individual who wants to rest and simply take time to be and commune and enjoy the presence of the Trinity, of mankind. I want to have those moments. And so because God does this, that's the principle. It is good if we'll do this. That's the ethic. Mm-hmm. And so we try to make a practice of it. That's where the concept of the law comes in. So when you and I are wrestling through, you know, do you have to go to church on a Sunday? Well, we're gonna dive into that question when we get back. But before you even begin to ask that question, you need to ask why the Sabbath is set apart. It's set apart because it's who God is. It's set apart because it's who we are. Mm-hmm. And it is set apart because God said, it's important to me. I know it's important to you. Earlier, we were talking about the fact that there are things that our dads have just passed on to us, not because they've said it, but because it's who they were, okay? And Joe, it's very important to me to find out, how in the world do you tie shoes wrongly?
I don't know.
His dad evidently tied shoes one way.
It's the only way I've ever tied them.
And you tie them the same way, but then somebody said, don't teach the kids, the grandkids.
Yeah, one of my brother's wives.
So is it bunny ears? What are you doing?
I don't know. I will demonstrate to you and Brian.
I'm going to have to know, too. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm fascinated. I had no idea there were multiple ways to tie shoes. So I'm deeply curious, and I'm sorry. That's just a small thing that I'm
okay.
I am fascinated by. So anyways, and I hope to master it. I hope to see what it is and to master it. But I love the fact that literally the way your dad tied his shoes, you tie your shoes, and somebody could see the difference literally in the way you tie. Think about Sabbath, the way that God exists. The way that God exists with us is now also the way we exist with others, Sabbath. He didn't tell us. He taught us. And he was a part of that process. Well, we're going to get back and we're going to talk about whether or not you got to go to church on a Sunday because it's Sabbath. And we'll do that as soon as we get back from hearing Johnny Erickson Tada and her words of encouragement.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope with a word from Johnny about gratitude.
Yesterday, as I was wheeling up the front path to our house, I stopped my wheelchair underneath the shadowy branches of our tree in the front yard, just beginning to show the first signs of spring. There are no leaves yet, but there are these green little buds on the branches. And when the wind moved the branches, the shadows crisscrossed each other on the ground, making a fascinating design. It was almost mesmerizing. I looked up. I drew in a deep breath. The air was cool and crisp. The sky was spring blue, and our neighborhood was so quiet. Ken was waiting for me, standing by the front door, and I called him outside. I said, come here, sweetheart. And when he walked over, I told him, look at this. Look, isn't God great to give us such a beautiful day? Ken put his hand on my shoulder and stood next to me for a couple of long minutes as we both pointed out things that delighted us. Even as I said, those few green buds sprouting on the branches. I was so glad when my husband agreed that, yes, it was indeed a beautiful day, a day for which to thank God. And it's funny, and both Ken and I observed this, it was amazing to us how full of joy we were over, well, what seemed to be a rather plain, ordinary, late winter, almost early spring afternoon. And I guess our joy overflowed because we did not take the day for granted. The beauty of it all reminded us that the afternoon was a gift from God. You know, it was G.K. Chesterton who once said, "When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude." Well, I tell you, Chesterton definitely hit the nail on the head. Do we take things for granted or do we take them with gratitude? Isn't that a great quotation of his? But you know what? The Bible came up with the idea first. For God's word tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quote, "In everything give thanks." Then it virtually says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 5. Always, and I love that word always, not just some of the time, not just when something extraordinary happens. No, we are to always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't you love that word everything? Not just some things or the things that are out of the ordinary, but everything. So today, friend, let the Holy Spirit open up the eyes of your heart, because there are glories and graces all around you, all of them disguised as everyday blessings, blessings that are oh so miraculous. And it's my prayer that God will open your eyes to not only delight in these blessings, but to articulate, to thank Him out loud for each and every one. For instance, here's another great quote from Chesterton. Listen to what he says. He says, "When we were children, we were grateful to those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs?" Well, I really identify with that one, being paralyzed. Oh, my goodness. So please, today, get in the practice of always giving thanks to God for everything. It's what G.K. Chesterton got in the habit of doing. And he also wrote, you know, some people say grace before meals. All right, but I say grace before the concert and the opera, and grace before the play and the pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching, painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen into the ink. There you go. There you have it. A great example of always giving thanks in everything.
So, friend, look around you, because I just know there are small blessings, little joys, and tiny hints of God's favor today for which you can be grateful. Let's not take anything for granted today. Let's take things with gratitude.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." A story is told of a soldier who had been a heavy drinker for 35 years. For all those years, he had been angry with everyone and everything, and finally he encountered Christ and his whole life changed. He was speaking once before a group of medical people. He told them of his personality change, how he was now sober as he once had been drunk, considerate as he had once been severe, concerned for others as he had once been selfish and self-serving. A psychiatrist who believed the personalities are firmly set in early life protested to the colonel. "Well," replied the colonel, "that may be true, but I'm under new management." I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Well, we've been talking about the Sabbath, and normally whenever you have a conversation about the Sabbath, there's two things that folks always say. First, are you allowed to work on the Sabbath? Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The other is, well, which day is supposed to be the Sabbath? Okay.
Is it Saturday?
That's right. It's Saturday. Is it Sunday? Is it Thursday?
Uh-huh.
You know? So those are the two things that we always get in debates about. And again, if I can bring you back to where we started this hour, we're looking at the Sabbath based on a threefold process: practices, ethics, and principles. So we practice the Sabbath as a practice, but there's a reason for that. What's the reason? Because it's good for us. It's a moral thing to engage. God has said so. He has made it a moral issue. He says it's holy and set apart to Him. Well, why is it holy and set apart to Him? And here's the principle that makes the ethic, okay, why it's good is because it's in the DNA of God and in the DNA of mankind. And we've already discussed the fact that in Genesis, God has placed the Sabbath in the midst of the creation stories of humankind. So Sabbath and humankind are interwoven with one another. And so if we know that, is the principle behind which the Sabbath takes place, then that's going to inform the way we engage the ethic. In other words, well, what's the good way of doing Sabbath, right? What makes it moral? And then that's going to affect the practice. And so we always start at the wrong end. We say, well, what's the rule say? What's the law say? What's the Bible? And we say, what's the Bible say? But what we mean is, what did God tell us we have to do? Where's the lines, right? Don't look at the lines. Honestly, don't look at those lines, because God never intended the Sabbath to be drawn with such lines, okay? His intention was for you to act according to the image he's placed in you. And when you do that, you will be obedient to the Sabbath. You say, hold on, Brother David, you just said we don't have to keep a certain day. No, no. What I said is, you have to be true to the nature of God and the nature of who you are in that relationship. And we can prove that. Over there in Mark in chapter 2, Joe, would you read verses 27 and 28, please?
Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
Now, in this particular passage, Jesus is going through a field, and some of the disciples, they literally just pull some grain off of the stalks, and they're eating it, mm-hmm. Okay? And so the Pharisees see this, and they say, aha!
They're working on the Sabbath
day. You're working on the Sabbath day, okay? And he actually doesn't defend by saying, it's not work, you idiots. They were eating. You know? You would think that if working on the Sabbath was the issue, mm-hmm. he would have gone after working on the Sabbath. Oh, you're right. You know, they don't work on the Sabbath, but this is not work. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. That would be under the practice level. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So instead of arguing the practice of should you be taking grains off a stalk or not taking grains off a stalk, that's not what he does. Here's what he does. He says, look at the principle. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The exact statement is Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 that weaves in between the creation of mankind, the creation of the Sabbath. He says, as God's creating mankind, he says, this is important to me. I know it's important to them. And so what he does is he makes in them the need for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. It's not about the law and fulfilling the law and making sure that you have every last piece of the puzzle correct. It is about getting to the root of it, which is, I was made to commune with God. Mm-hmm. And Sabbath is a day that I set aside so that I can do that. Why? Because it's important to me. So I've got a quick illustration, and that is the concept of anniversary. Have either of you ever taken your wife out for an anniversary dinner on a day that was not the anniversary?
Yes.
Okay, got one? I'm going to say yes. I'm all in. So yeah. I'm not going to point fingers at anybody. Joe? Well,
most likely, especially birthdays.
Birthdays, absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not that day, but another
absolutely.
Day.
Yeah.
So what makes the anniversary? If you're not doing it on the right day, then the anniversary is not the anniversary. I mean, my goodness, gentlemen, we have violated the anniversary.
We have violated
well,
it.
We should at least get credit for remembering the anniversary.
That's right. Come on, Joe. Yes.
But that's the point. The reason of the anniversary is to show the individual that you love them, and for them to be able to show that love back. It is relational. It is not calendar. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the calendar. It has everything to do with the relationship. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the key to the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath because it's in his DNA, it's in our DNA, and he says, I want this time with you. And we saw there in Genesis that Sabbath was every day. In the cool of the evening, literally God walks with man. That blows my mind. Think about it. You're not having Sunday services in Garden of Eden. You're having everyday walks and discussions with the eternal God Almighty as you stroll through the creation that He has made. Oh, my goodness. There's Sabbath. That's the goal. And in fact, if you want to see how it all plays out in the end, that's where God is leading us. There is no Sabbath day in heaven.
Yeah.
The scripture says over in Revelation, there in chapter 21, that when we get to heaven and we see the new Jerusalem, we see in verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there is no night there. I love that.
Amen.
He says, there's no temple because God is there. There is no day and night because God's presence is eternally there. And there is no need to set aside a day to be with God.
He's with
Sabbath
Him every day.
Is every day. Exactly. It's the way it was in creation. It is the way it will be in the recreation. And what God is saying when He asks us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is to help us between the two points where it was perfect. To help us make sure that there's a day where we set aside time to just simply be with Him. Do you have to be in church? It'd be good if you were. And the scripture does say, do not forsake the gathering, right? That's very clear. It also says we're supposed to disciple and teach others, and we should do that. You can do that in church. Church is a wonderful place. I'm a pastor. I'm a big proponent of church. But I'll be honest with you. Church is not God.
No.
And so if you're in church, but you're not focused on the relationship with God, you're not keeping the Sabbath. Just because you go through the motions, the Sabbath has not been found. Just because you're in the right place, the Sabbath has not been found. And just because you do it on a Saturday or just because you do it on a Sunday, you've not held the Sabbath. The Sabbath doesn't happen until you take the time to know who God is, and just spend time communing with Him. And so, I would encourage you, make sure that you have a day where you remember God fully and truly. But also, make sure that you have Sabbath every day, because God is God every day. So as you guys are heading out on Monday, good Sabbath to you.
Amen.
Have a wonderful day and engage with the Creator who made you like Him.
Amen. Joe, would you close us out in prayer, brother?
Father, thank You for providing for us that day of physical rest. And although in Your pattern, You did not need rest. We do. And we also need that communion with You, that time of refocusing on You. At least one day of every week. So help us to keep our focus on our Savior, on our Lord Jesus, and to commune with You in those times when we quiet our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks for being with us on the Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.